Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
They stop Strahd from committing an evil crime.
Nice one, guys.
But in the process, they were
sent back in time.
What should they do?
Who should they kill?
Probably someone innocent.
They've got to travel back through time. Something that rhymes with time.
Friendship is forever.
Friendship never ends. It doesn't matter what time you're in. You're still a dragon friend.
If you will, Tarl, those forgotten realms, lands of infinite adventure and impossibility, where brave adventurers hold a candle to the darkness of deceit and wickedness. Picture inside that, if you can, the time of old High Netherrealm, when mages erected cities in the sky to rule upon all, when magic was unfettered. Picture, if you can, then, a magical ship sailing majestically through the air, impossibly wondrous, a thing of which men have made to show how like the gods they have become. Picture, if you can, inside this ship, a modestly appointed teppanyaki restaurant where, for some reason, I anticipate we will be spending the majority of the adventure. Sluggy Beer proprietor is at the wok. A horseshoe of tables surrounds as eggs and noodles fly in the air.
Dave, it's not a wok.
It's just a wok.
It's a hot plate.
It's a hot plate.
Yeah.
And it's a hot plate.
Let's not start chanting racist, Dave. Let's not make that a thing.
Not a... Let the record show that it came naturally from the audience and wasn't prompted from on stage.
Guys, please, let racist Dave speak.
Let racist Dave speak in whatever accent he's about to speak in.
Please. So sorry. Racist Dave, the floor is yours.
You see, you think I'm upset, but if I get cancelled, I don't have to do this podcast anymore. I crave it. I yearn for it. A horseshoe table surrounds. A covenant is in the midst of being formed. The dragon friends, Lion Shield banknote, the Laroon siblings, the Howlers, and the Great Jar himself, Strahd von Zarevich, are sitting deep in council, eating what I can only assume is a fabulous, if somewhat bizarrely unseasoned, meal.
Quick point of order. Have we parked the ship to save on fuel?
The ship is hovering to conserve fuel, and okay, some of the Howlers are already mending the holes in the side of the ship. It seems that they came with material to plug the holes that they created. This was a planned shipjacking, not a suicide mission. Now, we'll say that Strahd is sitting at a table with, let's say, Bobby and
Well,
Bilge.
If it's teppanyaki, they'd all be around the same
table. I know,
table.
But I'm talking about who's sitting with who.
Okay,
Baston
right.
is going to be sitting
Someone just in the audience said you couldn't see them when you said that about... They were like, yes. As if they were just going to fucking storm out if that weren't addressed.
I didn't come here to be insulted.
Strahd is sitting with Bilge and Bobby. Jerick Rim is deep in conversation with Baston. Lion Shield Banknote is sitting by himself, not partaking in the festivities. But Friezo is sitting with the Laroon siblings, Moira and Maisel.
Question.
Yes.
Jerick Rim, Strahd, different Job. People, same person.
Are you asking Jerick?
Yes.
No, we're different people, mate. See, I'm sitting here, and Strahd's over there.
What's your relation to him?
I'm his main man. I'm his numero uno.
How'd you guys meet?
Hockey.
Okay, cool.
No, Jerick Rim was actually a warlord of the Waste outside the Balinarks,
yeah,
who was defeated
before that hockey.
Yeah. Right.
Who was defeated in battle
in the Great
Strahd.
Hockey Wars?
It was defeated in battle by Strahd and has now become his most fervent convert.
But before that was the Under Nines tournament in Lithgow.
And in that battle that where I was defeated by him.
The hockey battle.
No, this was separate to that.
Okay,
He fought with such honour and such poise that after I'd said, obviously, "Oi, you're from Nines hockey!" I pledged my allegiance to him.
Yeah, right.
But hockey first.
Yeah, cool.
It was hockey first.
And now Ben, can I ask a question? During that riff, just then, were you struggling your brain to think of anything about hockey?
Yeah. Anything.
A position. Like, oh, what do we know? They take corners, I think. There's like.
Yep. I went through like four different things and I was like.
I mentioned Canada.
I was like, that's netball. Yeah, that's also netball. Oh, that's not a real thing. I'm back to thinking about where the months go.
Absolutely baffling for anyone who's not at the live show. So, okay, well, while this time waste is happening.
How do you guys know each other?
We come from the same neighborhood. Yeah, the same. I grew up just down the road from him, and he was kind of a bully, but...
You grew up in the Balinox?
Yeah, I grew up in the Balinox.
Amongst the six tribes?
Yeah, sure. Well, adjacent to the tribes. Temporarily. In the future.
Which tribe were you part of?
Hockey.
And they cheers. Also, I will say, we don't need to keep, because
I don't know why you're lying.
Yeah, their pretenses. I know it comes so naturally to the Dragon Friends just to lie at any question, but like, you have said you are time travelers.
Yeah, right. True.
But no, it's important to keep your ending. So, Friezo, meanwhile, you're sitting next to the wildling mages, the Laroons.
And Friezo's just like, man, did you see that bit where he cut off the shrimp table and flipped it into his pocket? God, that was good. It's another teppanyaki reference.
What?
Shrimp tail into the pocket. It's a classic teppanyaki bit.
What is your purpose here, mage?
Oh, I just got an idea for the Dragon Prince Christmas party.
Oh, well, not now! Not now!
Paintball!
We're doing something!
Oh my god!
Friezo points, he's talking to the Laroon siblings, and he says to them, he pulls out his magical focus, and he shows it to Moira, I believe.
Yep.
And she would recognize it, because it
is... That's my brother's mirror.
Your brother's mirror? Oh, well, it's your mirror then, sir. I got this from... You gave this to me in a different... timeline. In a previous
Sorry, before you timeline. Said before you said gave it to me, you said I didn't catch.
Yeah, what did you say there, mage?
I said stole, but I was really talking about my heart that you stole, because
you're in love with my brother.
No, it was a platonic love. We were all in love.
We're all in love.
We were very close. We were extremely close
in another timeline.
I'm just showing this to you because you wouldn't give it to me unless you really cared about me or I killed you.
Or you stole it. Yeah.
Yeah, but you would give this up unless you were dead. So I just want you to know that we have the capacity to become very close. Also, can I show you this? And Frieza's going to show them.
He is.
No. Frieza's going to show them a scroll that he has with them to prove his power.
What scroll?
This is a scroll of a...
It'd be funny if he called his penis his scroll.
That would be
fun. We gotta leave this riff behind.
Yeah, sorry.
A Vegemite scroll. Sorry. Yuck.
Okay, does anybody else have any scroll rips to get out? Just before, it takes Hugh some energy to put the in marker in, and before he has to put
If you were pleasuring yourself, you'd be scrolling.
Okay.
No? All right. Little snippy-snippy on the scroll.
Little snippy-snippy there, Hugh.
And we're
3, 2, 1, edit point. Friezo was going to show them a scroll that he has with
what
Dave.
What scroll?
A scroll of the Tarasque?
Oh, shit, right. The scroll of the Tarasque.
Tarasque.
Okay, so let's be very clear for a second. This is a scroll.
Now, I don't know if you guys, if the rest of the Dragon Friends know this.
You found this in the ruin of a Netherese city 1,000 years in the future.
Sacrificed
a lot to get it.
Frieza got this in the either Patreon only or Twitch stream version of Beef Babes in the season finale of like part two of that.
I mean, that's a weird way to say what I said essentially.
How you doing, 702?
Yes, Friezo found this in a library in an old Netherese ruin 1,000 years ago in the future.
What does it do? I don't care where it's from. This is the Star Wars prequels all over again.
Moira takes the scroll that you're offering her. She's just looking at it. And she looks, carefully reads the Larosian runes as she says, "Where did you find this mage?"
"I'm a very powerful warlock, possibly Chinese, from a different time. I'm just showing this to you so that you know you are allied with a very powerful, with a very powerful entity."
"Well, I want you to understand something that you may be as well, because you see, I know this scroll very well. I am in the process of drafting this scroll
with
the Maisel, and it is not yet finished."
"Gosh.
So I ask,
do you want to cut your work in half and just copy this one?"
"You would be the most annoying time traveler to ever meet."
Pretty helpful stuff, I reckon.
Knocking on
doors for years. Oh, fucking hell! Cut it through. Oh no!
Knocking on Einstein's door. Squared. Squared. That's what you.
Equals MC something.
little two. Tiny little two. All right, take the afternoon off, Al.
It's your own work, so you don't have to feel bad.
Friezo out! Drop the mic, walk off.
"Let me ask you this, mage. What you have identified this as the scroll of the Tarrasque. That is the mark that we put at the top. But what do you know of the Tarrasque?"
"I think I know that it's the one that wasn't the asteroid when it was offered to me. But I think it can..."
"The Tarrasque was a thing of pure fiction. A fantasy, an illusion, something that tormented my brother since he was a child. He would see it and he would not sleep, and he would moan and cry and run to my bed, and we turned that nightmare into something potent. The Tarrasque will be our salvation."
"What? Are you saying this is something purely fictional that you've brought into reality? Like, gah, the fortified wine tokay?" "I'm going to be honest, Dave, I'm also really annoying in the present."
"The Tarrasque is a creature of magic, 3 times the size of Ilinar. It can level cities, it can destroy worlds, its hunger is relentless, and it will not die and cannot be killed. And if you are telling me that we have finished the spell, I will just be taking this scroll now. Please, thank you very much."
"Why did you make that?" "Excuse me, very silly. Too big?
Too
big. Dangerous.
Too dangerous.
Too world-ending.
Too world-ending.
Sorry to interrupt on your conversation here, but that's cocoa bananas."
"Now, I don't really understand. I don't understand your future talk. This is Strahd here.
Come on."
He looks up from a very chewy plate of teppanyaki.
"But listen, whoop! He's catching an egg. Wait. I asked the runes to create a monster to fight one. Have you met Karsus? Do you know what he's capable of? Do you know what he's trying to do?"
"Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah."
"All right, give someone else a go." "They always pick on one person."
It's just, you cannot create gravitas in a scene.
I know.
Beyond the fourth wall, there is a impassive slug in a chef's hat just hoiking hockey noodles at you.
I mean, you can try. All you can do is try. If you've got a better idea about how to take down casters, I'd like to hear it. But that scroll there, thank you very much, that's our best bet.
But that scroll's not going to just take down casters. That'll take down the whole world.
That's some of the world. It's debatable, the percentage. But listen, do you want? Do you know what would happen if he was left unchecked?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Oh, boy. Here's what he would do. He would... all of the people of this land, he would subject to energy-draining magics to keep him alive for an eternity. The very power that his whole world runs on now, the power that this ship runs on, may very well be a prototype for that.
And you know what he plans in 3 days? And this is the figure of Jarek Rim staring at his noodles but talking to the room.
Is this
God,
the plan?
He better keep his eye on that slug.
Single egg, right in the forehead.
Eyes on the prize, Jarek. No, but it's terrifying. What he beyond all imagination.
He's building a weapon. He won't stop talking about it, crowing to the high mages of Netheril. Then in 3 days' time, he's going to unveil something that will save the Netherese Empire. It's a weapon. And it's going to destroy us and imprison the people down there. And he points down.
Why can't we all just get along? That's my question. Weapons, destruction. Why don't we just get rid of all the weapons?
Hey, don't take this the wrong way, but are you a virgin?
Why, as a matter of fact... Yes, I am. And I'm beginning to think that if we were all virgins, the world would be a much better place. But there wouldn't be any people in it, so...
Strahd.
Yeah. Filge.
You want to give yourself points for that?
I just did a little... One of the things I'm learning about leadership is knowing people's names is very important.
Did you have a mnemonic to remember my name?
Filge, Phil Collins, in the air tonight. We're in the air tonight, so...
Does that mean... Sorry. Does that mean that if you ever land the ship, you're going to forget Filge's name?
I think the more pertinent question is, does this mean that Phil Collins exists in not only... D&D world, but ancient D&D world.
It does suggest, because we know Phil Collins exists in the Grimms Detective Agency and also Beef Babes. Yep. But this means that Phil Collins pre-existed all of them by 1,000 years, is in some sort of eternal being.
And if Phil Collins existed 1,000 years ago, does that mean that he inspired Eminem to write the song Stan in this world?
Great question, and I'll take them one at a time. I think that the Phil Collins we have in our world is an echo of sort of an Phil Collins. A genesis,
one of the great
if you
myths.
Will. Shut up! You stepped on it! You stepped on it, Dave!
I can feel it!
I heard it, Ben. Genesis. Very
Genesis.
Funny. Very good.
Genesis.
The
that
band
was the band
he was formerly in.
Well, Strahd. Me have a mnemonic to remember your name, too.
Oh?
Yeah. Strahd. Strahd von Zarevich, the vampire who we've killed a bunch of times.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy to remember because you were a vampire and we killed you a bunch of times.
So many different times.
Yeah, me a very good leader too, actually.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a vampire.
Yeah, not yet, but as soon as you become one, oh boy, do we murder you.
Actually, we did actually murder him before he was a vampire.
Excuse me?
No, I don't think we murdered you. I think we murdered someone very close to you, potentially a nephew or an uncle or something.
No, but the second time we did kill him.
That's true.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah.
Very carefully, Strahd puts his ball down. You notice the room has gone silent. Moira and Maisel are watching you intently.
Even Sluggy Beer reads the room.
Or, does he... He just very seriously, somberly puts his ball down and immediately is hit in the face of an egg.
Oh, come on! Quick hands!
Just whose side are you on?
Right now, we're on your side. But that's up to you, really.
This is my master. This is the man I have sworn to protect. This is the Great Jar, the only hope of the freeborn folk below. If Karsus lives and Strahd dies, there will be 1,000 years of terrible suffering.
We know.
God, we've been through this.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
So what are you going to do about it?
We're going to help you kill Karsus, and then we're going to teach you a little thing about kindness.
Yeah, us, the dragon friends.
Did you say that you murdered my nephew for no reason?
In a previous timeline. No.
It was your father.
What?
What you have to realize about time travel is... it's hilarious. These are just time traveling jokes. We've been doing it so long, we get blood. It's none of this is true.
Hang on, if you guys can time travel, can't I just go to the future too?
No.
Yeah, you could.
Not allowed.
No, no,
sorry,
no,
only
no, no,
cool
no.
people.
Oh. No, there's
anyone
no,
can.
You can't go to the future. You can't actually. But if you're in the future, you could come to the past. Well, but to go to the future, you need to be stretched by a rubber band. This way, and then you can take a pill to take you back. But unfortunately, no rubber band for you, so you're stuck here.
Yeah, you're not stretched.
Linear time for you, Strahd.
That's a really good and thought out system. My lord. Seems somewhat wasted on this.
Great Jar, and this is Moira LaRune. This is my brother's mirror. These are our words. Clearly, they speak the truth. If they can help us fight Karsus, I believe we should work with them.
Moira, you're a straight talker, and I like that about you. You're a weirdo, but that's by the by.
I just think I try to keep the plot moving forward.
Yeah,
that's
you're
really my purpose in the gang.
Yeah, but you're an odd duck.
Sometimes I feel like we're trying to go on a mission, and then we get distracted. We see a cool restaurant. We hang out there for 22 minutes. And sometimes I think, well, when we started this, we agreed. When we were downstairs in the Mexican restaurant talking about the mission, we agreed on what the mission was. But now it seems you're on a different mission, which is just getting deep in a teppanyaki riff.
Yeah, that's why they call you Mad Moira with this bloody crazy... Anyway, point is, you've come...
I have so little control.
You've come to me, you've said some things that I don't agree with, killing me a number of times. I could not disagree in stronger terms. Killing my dad, similar sentiments there. But as Moira says, you guys seem to be from the future, and we seem to be on the same page vis-a-vis Karsus. So what say we fucking kill him?
Yeah.
All in favor say, ayo.
Ayo.
Great. That went down really
now,
well.
Now listen,
Me. No, me?
Yeah.
You?
Go.
Okay.
Filge.
Strahd runs Vazarevich, the vampire who we killed a bunch of times.
Stop saying that, it's making it very difficult.
I'm sorry. Now, not too long ago, but also lots of futures to come. We heard about a pretty nifty way of smushing a whole place, being a big shoe on a tiny ant.
But what if
Me
that
thinks,
ant
yeah.
has a gun?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Well, it depends on the size of the gun.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a big gun, we'd all be in trouble.
What I'm saying is this. Remember when Karsus smushed?
Yes, so if we make sure that he doesn't... Oh, he's already up in the sky.
No, we're more in the sky.
Okay, so you are in his flagship, the Rapture. He is obviously in Ilanar, presumably at this moment at the dinner party where he announces to all assembled that he has developed a way to save the Netherese Empire. A dinner party you have attended twice now.
That's right, but me saying, let's land the ship on the dinner party and smush him just like he does all the smushes in the future.
But what if he has a gun?
Now, I like this plan, and I especially like the ship part. because we've been trying to get up there for a very long time because we've got some very interesting information. But getting up there, man, that's harder than getting to the shops when they're closed and floating in the sky and heavily armed by guards. So listen.
At this point, Banknote sneaks off to the ship and decides to fly us back to Karsus' space.
Okay, great. So Banknote's leaving.
Listen, as my numero uno, my right hand man, my hockey pal, was just telling you, Karsus is up to something, and in 3 days he's gonna unveil it. It's a weapon, and the Laroons, in their infinite wisdom and sneakiness, and yeah, I'll say it, weirdness, they have got this for me. And he pulls out a key. And he says, this is a key to the vault inside Karsus's private chambers. If we can get in there, disable whatever he's got going on, then take him by surprise, or do it in any order you want. I'm open to that. I'm a collaborator.
Hang on, Strahd. That's a key to his quarters.
Yeah.
Is that the only one you have? Because if we need to make a copy, there's a place.
Go on.
Called Mr. Minute. And get this, they don't just do that, they also do...
Oh, look at that, the ship arrives. With the capable flying of Lion Shield Magna, the ship is already soaring back to Rapture. Now all the klaxons wailing, the ship is leaking ether, 3% capacity, the engines are almost overloaded as you hover over the
city. Have they just knocked out Ballantyne?
No, I was going to say, and all of you are assembled now in the throne room as one of the howlers drags in the now disheveled, and it has to be said, it looks like beaten up figure of the young, ardent flight academist, Ballantyne, as Moira Laroon leans in and says, we will ask you one more time the passwords for landing in Ilana. We understand they change every hour, and it has been, yes, 2 hours since this ship took off, and you will tell us the password now.
And I'm gonna tell you... I'd rather die than help you lot. You lied to me!
Moira looks back in Strahd and says, perhaps this would be a chance for our new friends to show that they are serious, that they will do what it takes to take on Karsus by making this wretch talk.
Okay! Says Filch. And she whacks him on the head with a hammer.
No, not head. Head will do damage.
Head. Oh,
kneecap,
what?
Kneecap.
Kneecap with a hammer. Thank you, Friezo.
No worries.
For always showing restraint and teaching me your ways.
Happy to help, Filch. Wink.
So I hit him with my Thunder's Wake on the
boy.
Kneecap.
Yeah, Dave, what's the armor class of a patella?
That hits, I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, well, it's a coup de grace because he's disabled, so that's...
And that's 15 damage on the old kneecaps.
Constitution saving throw, he rolls a 6. He screams in pain and Terry begins to weep for his mother.
And he says, Songbird!
Okay, hey, so easy peasy.
So wait, his kneecap is busted, but he keeps up the voice.
Yeah!
Because in his mind he's like, if I get through this, I need to tell my therapist
but
I was strong.
I even kept up the voice.
He's very committed to his therapy.
Yeah, that's good. Personal growth is good.
It is.
Songbird, was it Songbird?
Maisel Rune nods and enters the correct runes and sigils on the control board as the white glowing eyes of Banknote flicker and a smile forms on his bloodless lips as the ship docks at Launchpad McQuack and lands with a hiss and pneumatic seals disengage as a whoosh of steam is blown out from underneath the ship and the docking ramp descends down with the correct password identified. No one yet has any reason to believe that there is anyone other than Chiron's men aboard.
So... We get off the ship, we head towards the lift, I guess.
Yeah, just to be clear in terms of the timing, if you said 2 hours have passed, everyone should be at the banquet.
That's correct. Yeah. Right now, the feast is well on its way.
Friezo gets into the lift with everyone. The first thing he does is through the grate in the bottom of the lift, using Eldritch Spear, he casts an Eldritch Blast down towards whoever is beneath
the lift. Well, I've got a question here. This is really a question for Tom. Tom, Trevor has lived for 2 hours longer than he normally lives in this timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd love to know what's happened in the intervening.
He's written in his diary.
Because anything he has done in these 2 hours could potentially have timeline-altering consequences.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm trying to think like what's going to help the story, but also he's just a pervert, so I want to play true to the character.
Has he been looking at feet pics on his phone?
Yeah, I reckon
he doesn't have a phone.
He's probably just kind of looked wherever he is. He's probably like a grate at eye level, and he's just looking at people's feet. Yeah, it's people nodding at me. That's sort of thing that people do. Yeah, I don't know.
He hasn't moved.
Can I say, a young lady bends down and says, "Excuse me, were you looking at my feet?"
Yeah, I guess I was. Sorry, I can be so clumsy sometimes.
I've always been so self-conscious about my feet.
Sorry, is this just a random character talking out? This is a
keep going, play the scene out. Let's see where it's going.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you feel uncomfortable. My name's Trevor. I'm a pervert in the sewer.
I'm a pervert on the street. My name's Annabelle.
Annabelle, this might come kind of sudden, but would you like to get a drink sometime?
Yeah, I would.
Zap, and he's dead.
I'd want you to know, Dave, that Friezo rolled that and he rolled a natural 20. So he's really dead. He's really fucking dead.
Great, so he dies.
Annabelle, the street pervert, will avenge him.
Big bad for next season.
The elevator clatters down and clatters down, far below the feasts, far below the living quarters, until it comes to a small embutrement where there... All right. I'm getting away with that one, apparently.
Yeah.
A corridor leads off into the private residences of the Archmage himself, he who rules all of Ilanar, Karsus the Kind, Karsus the Benevolent, Karsus who will save this world. These are his private residences, private laboratories, private quarters. And who, may I ask, is leading the way? Who is keeping watch at the back?
I'll lead the way.
Filge, all right, Filge is leading the way. Does that mean... Bobby, are you at the back?
Yeah, I'll keep watch at the back.
All right, great. Make a perception check for me, Bobby. And you stalk down the corridor. You can see that with the feast in progress, this area is nigh on abandoned before you arrive at a large door. The door is a single piece of burnished metal, and there is a single ornate keyhole built into the center of it, with a fresco of strange patterns undulating out towards the corners.
Who's got the key?
That would be me.
Oh, yeah, hit it, man.
You know what?
I mean, use it. Don't hit it.
Yeah.
You get it.
I'd like to do this, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go for it. We've done it already, sir. Yeah. Well,
yeah. Jerry,
you haven't done this already!
No, this is special and just you.
Feeling somewhat diminished, Strahd...
You're doing great!
Feeling somewhat diminished, Strahd takes the key while the Laroon siblings and Jerick look on. Can you make a perception check for me, Friezo?
Friezo rolls a natural 20.
Okay, great. In this moment, a few things happen simultaneously as everybody leans in to watch. First of all of the dragon friends suddenly feel a strange flipping of your stomachs as bile rises, and you realize that chronomatic dysfunction is taking hold of your insides.
We need to do another line.
Anyone who wants to can use up the medicine that they have. Anyone who doesn't want to can take a constitution save.
I'll take my medicine.
How much medicine do we need to take? Do we have to do one, a full line, a full, or can we just do like a bump off a
no,
key?
It's a full dose. Yep, we'll do it. And Friezo, because you're rolling a 20 as well, as you are preoccupied, you suddenly feel a finger slipping towards your belt pouch.
My what?
Your belt pouch.
Is that what we call it? All right.
And you can see that the figure of Maisel LaRune is trying to slip his hand into...
I really thought you were going to bring Trevor back there for a moment.
Into the pouch containing your scroll of the Tarrasque.
What are you... Get away from there. What are you doing?
He looks up and he goes, just testing. The reflexes are obviously strong. But remember, this is our magic. He flashes a smile at you and he looks at the door as a lock clicks and the door slides open and you can see a giant spherical space inside a gantry catwalk around what looks like a huge device strapped to the ceiling and to the roof. It looks like a large square prism banded with steel. It's a cube inside a sphere. I hear you all, but you in the mind, no, that's fine.
Oh, it's like an Event Horizon machine.
It's sure. Like
it's actually, a fucked up thing from Event Horizon. Just say it's the fucked up thing.
It's the fucked up thing with its spikes. Why does it have spikes?
Yeah.
To make it scary. Yeah.
But this cube, Dave.
Yeah, it's spinning like the fucked up thing from Event Horizon.
If you were to pick it up, how heavy do you think it'd be?
Don't hear that and I won't respond to it. So, there is a lever by the doorway. Jeregrim looks at it, looks for approval from Strahd, who nods, and he yanks the lever as out spits a walkway, a little sort of tready...
Oh, like a gangplank.
Like a gangplank spits out towards the cube. As Enstrad looks at all of you, looks around, but it seems that for now, no alarms have been sprung. The space seems to be yours.
Well, Frieza's going to walk forward because he has the Claw of Chiron, in case that has any like security shit on it that he's allowed to, that like swipes or whatever.
Yep.
So he's going to walk forward across the gangplank.
All right, you walk towards the gangplank, and as you get there, you have a jolt of recognition because you realize that this is the one and same prison tomb that you have seen 1,000 years ago, no longer corroded with rust. Now it looks empty, vacant, newly made. It is a cell, 10 feet by 10 feet.
And Strahd says to Jarek, this doesn't look like any kind of weapon I recognize.
We saw him in this. We saw Karsus in this. All the energy of the world was draining to him. This was the furnace.
Oh, the kiln.
The kiln.
The kiln.
Kiln.
Yeah.
I'd say that's just about enough of that.
When you leaned over to talk to Dave just now, were you asking what's Karsus's voice?
I'd say that's just enough about that. As you hear that, you turn around and you see walking down the corridor towards you with two liveried officers of the Ardent Flight by his side, the figure of Karsus, seemingly unarmed in his dress shirt and rings and fineries, unarmed, walking unhurriedly towards the seven of you.
Oh, hey guys. Guess you didn't get the invitation to the dinner party because I didn't send you one. You weren't invited is what I was... It was a clunky way of saying it, but I'm full of salmon and I just can't think.
Karsus, you don't know who the fuck we are.
You see, the thing about that is I kinda do.
How?
And as he says that, another figure steps out from behind Karsus.
Oh.
Very old man, bound down by a heavy chain, looking absolutely miserable as he stares at you, Bobby.
I'm sorry, I see all and I sometimes say some of it.
Oh, this fucking guy. Grand Seraphiria?
Yes. Karsus could sense that something was amiss and demanded of me if there was something that I could see, and I could see this timeline. It's the one that comes closest to the knot, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's sorry. Did you hear that? He's sorry.
Friezo's gonna lunge for the old cube.
You're gonna lunge towards the cube?
Yep.
Okay, great. You race towards the cube, and as you do that, Karsus shouts out in alarm that you are very close to it. The door of it is open, and you can race into it if you want to.
Ooh, is this how Friezo dies? Banknote runs towards the cube.
As soon as Banknote crosses the precipice of the cube, the door slams shut as the cube begins to spin, and a voice shouts out in every known language that ever will or shall be, that all of you can understand instinctively as every language that you understand, as it says, God containment protocol activated.
What?
Sealing now, and there is a radiant blast of light as Karsus screams out in anger and frustration.
You fucking idiots! That's not meant for that guy! I don't know who that guy is! I think they didn't tell me who that guy was!
My name is Lionshield.
Shut up!
Of the Rutherglen banknotes!
Don't you understand what that is?
Yes.
It's a god box!
What?
Yeah. And there's not a god in it!
What happens now?
And as Banknote says that at the door, the cube glows white, spins, and then suddenly begins to grow and disappear. And as everybody in the room sits and watches, the colossal energies required by a mad genius to trap and imprison a god are weighted down upon Lion Shield Banknote. Level 7 Artificer, who looks at Friezo for some kind of consolation or acknowledgement that he did what he wanted him to do.
Is this what... You are my new friend. Is this what you wanted me to do?
And Friezo's just like, oh boy. I was almost going to get in there. Gosh.
Isn't that what you always wanted, Friezo?
Well, no, I wanted to be a god. But I think this kills a god, and in this instance, kills that guy. But in actual fact, in a previous timeline that's still connected to me, I already looted his stuff, so I think we're okay.
Time is, of course, a curious thing. A curious thing indeed. Sages say that the history of Faerûn is divided into three great ages: an age of wonder, an age of ruin, and an age that is yet to come, a third age, an age where all is possible, where Faerûn's fate hangs in the balance, where fortunes can be made, where the good can rise or perish, where evil can flourish or finally be thwarted. These are ages unending, impossibly long, spinning in the ethereum of 9 known worlds, and yet, in the every instant of this age, at all times possible, in all spaces imaginable, Lion Shield Banknote is undone, unstitched in time, dying the most painful death imaginable, again and again and again. It takes terrible magic to trap a god, to hold them even for an instant. Karsus, perhaps in his folly, believes by trapping one he can save his people, find ether sufficient to find his salvation. He may not be right, but one thing is sure: his box can truly fuck up Lion Shield Banknote. We will see you again in Season 8 of Dragon Friends. Give me the character sheet. Give me the character sheet.
I just wanted you all to know that I was a good boy.
Oh, that is not where I thought this episode would go! Thank you!
Tom, do you know who Launchpad McQuack is?
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay. Who is Launchpad McQuack?
Follow-up question.
Huh? Because I feel like Launchpad McQuack, I think if you're under 30, maybe you wouldn't know who Launchpad McQuack is. Is there anyone under 30 who knows who Launchpad McQuack is? 29. 29, okay.
Who is Launchpad McQuack?
I want to find the youngest person here.
Yeah,
so I'm so sorry to interrupt you, sir. But shut up. I want to...
Honestly, please, just shut the fuck up.
Would you do that for me?
I It's fun to be angry at the paying audience.
Guys, again, we're so glad to be back in front of a so, live audience.
Never has the arts fuck you, been fuck you, more fuck you. Important, I swear to God! I want to find the youngest person here who knows who Launchpad McQuack is. So how old are you?
And you reckon? And you reckon
but, I know someone's but, bad out over
the,
there.
It's the fucking DuckTales reboot.
Can anybody beat 24?
Oh, it's the reboot.
It's the reboot. We'll
did
get
you
it.
Just forget how old you were? Because you put your hand up and then you put your hand down. Oh. What month? What month? What month? What month? April?
April?
January.
Oh!
All right. The second half of the podcast is just this.
So, Mr. January, that makes no. No,
that's Mo.
That's January.
Mo, who's born in April?
No, no January.
No.
Mo's January.
Who's younger?
Are you having an episode?
Who's younger?
I believe Mr. April is at the back.
Yeah, Mr. April.
Did you think January was younger because it's a smaller month?
Hell yeah.
I'm going to take some time to work out how I did that.
No, I did the same thing. So,
I did the same thing as well.
We it's like this person's from 2B. Right. It's they're like, tiny.
It's like, you know those, you know that scene in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang where he does the Russian roulette and then he shoots the guy and he's like, there's a 6% chance. And it's such a funny joke because you understand how he got there. I'm trying to work out how I did that. Whoa. And I'll report back in the middle of a very important bit of the podcast.
But person who was born in April, what was your name?
Shane.
Hi, Shane. Who is Launchpad McQuack?
No.
No.
Incorrect.
No.
Incorrect.
Fuck off, Shane. All right.
Swear to God.
All right. Next, next.
This is this cunt all over again.
We have to go to April. We have to go to...
Mo, who's born in April?
January.
I mean, Mo, you were born in January. Who is Launchpad McQuack? Yes, okay,
yes.
Congratulations. Would you like this beer? I don't have a bottle opener. All
did right, the person enough. Who came after hearing this on 702, are they still here?
Hey! Hey! Hey!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.